or friends with someone who have a mental health issue. We do it in various ways. One of the ways we do it is we have what is called a family-to-family class, which is for family members, again, who either know someone, have someone in their family or whatever. And it tries to teach the person about medications, side effects, what to do, what not to do in certain circumstances, what to say, what not to say. And it also tries to get the person to feel what it's like to be the individual with the mental illness. And we also run a support group, which is the third Thursday of every month. It's held at 52 East Main Street in Flemington from 7 to 8:30. You do not have to be a member of NAMI to, you know, to come to the support group. You don't. It's no charge. Everything is free. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to take the family-to-family class, but you do have to register. The family-to-family class is going to be on February 22nd. It's going to start on February 22nd, which is a Saturday. It's going to be at the Hunterdon Medical Center in one of the meeting rooms there. And you can call to register. And so there's a lot of other things we do also, but that's, you know, a couple of the major ones I thought I'd get out there. And if you need any help or if you need questions you'd like answered, you can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone man the phone 24/7, but we do have a young lady who answers it or checks the messages at least twice a day. And we will get back to you as soon as possible. Remember, that's 908-284-0500. Today, we are very privileged to have with us Scott Gallagher. Scott is a staff member and co-founder of the Raritan Learning Center in Flemington, New Jersey. Scott's been teaching reading and writing for about 18 years. I understand you also dabble in music with the piano and the guitar. Is that correct?
I do. Dabble. That might be an overstatement.
But you do play the piano and the guitar.
A little bit.
Well, hey, you know, if you play a little, that's better than me because I don't know the first thing about it.
More than none.
I understand you also love surfing.
I do.
Yeah.
I do, and I was just thinking, listening to Tracy doing the weather just now, I was thinking about the west wind and thinking, today there's a good chance that the waves are good.
So what do you figure after this? You're going to go shit surfing?
No. It's a little out of season for me. I pretty much stop. October is about the latest.
All right, Scott. Would you explain exactly what the Raritan Learning Center is and who it helps?
Sure. So Raritan Learning Cooperative is the third center of the learning cooperatives. Our first center was opened in Princeton 10 years ago. Our second center, Bucks Learning Cooperative, was opened in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. I believe they're in their fifth year. And so we've been here in Flemington. We're now currently in our third year. We work with teens predominantly, but we have kids as young as 12 come to our center. And in a nutshell, our program is sort of a hybrid between somewhere between school and homeschooling. So there's lots of things that happen at our center that are school-like, like the classes that we offer. But we also have a lot of flexibility that homeschoolers enjoy. So our program is full-time, and essentially the kids that come to us, if they are in school before they come to us, they take themselves out of school and declare themselves homeschoolers. But then they attend full-time our program 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And on those days, we have all kinds of activities from formal classes, things like philosophy and psychology and Russian, to things that are more off the beaten path, sort of very non-traditional type classes, things like Dungeons and Dragons. And Fridays are mostly devoted to trips, but we also have some special workshops that happen on that day as well. But most Fridays we go on trips, and they can vary from anything from the, we were just in New York City this past Friday. We've gone on hikes. We go to, we volunteer next, this coming Friday, we're volunteering at the Flemington Food Pantry.
Okay.
So, we just, you know, the point is to be out in the world and right. do real things and, to think about how an education can be a variety of things. It doesn't always have to be in a classroom, sort of in a formal setting like that. But if you're interested in special effects makeup, well, let's go to some place where they actually practice special effects makeup and see it being done and that kind of thing. So that's just one example. But yeah, so.
Well, you said Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. What about Wednesday?
Right. So partly the idea is that kids are taking ownership of their education, and that sort of philosophically, we're not going to necessarily provide everything for them. The Wednesday is sort of built in partly to give the staff members the opportunity to do administrative things, but more philosophically, it's about kids going off and figuring out something else to do. So the Wednesday can provide them time to work. They could get a job, work during the day. They could volunteer. Some kids go to another homeschool co-op. Some kids use that time at home to do some sort of independent study. Some of our kids do programs that are online. And some of our kids who attend also attend Raritan Valley Community College concurrently. So last semester we had one of our members who would not be with us on Mondays, and because their class fell on Monday and Wednesday at they actually lived in Middlesex County, so they attended Middlesex County College on Mondays and Wednesdays. So the Wednesday off with us actually gave some flexibility for that to be folded into the whole program.
Are a lot of your students from out of Hunterdon County?
Generally not. That particular team joined because at the time of joining, our Princeton Center was full. So that's why they were coming from South Brunswick. But pretty much most of our kids come from
Hunterdon County.
I think they're pretty much all in Hunterdon County at the, you know, maybe, yeah, I think so. I mean, Califon, Flemington.
That's all Hunterdon
County.
Clinton.
Yeah, right. yeah. It's all pretty much the surrounding areas.
Scott, what would you say is the goal of the school?
The goal of the school? Well, the goal of the school, I think, is to have kids take ownership of their education and to know that they're in control of their lives, and for them to recognize that. I mean, I think the goal for our work with families is for them to recognize that school is one option, but that there are more options out there.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say 12-year-old,
mm-hmm.
all right, I can understand 16, 17, you know, thinking about what their future might be or what they want to do. Mm-hmm. A 12-year-old?
Well, I'm not sure what your question is.
Well, I don't know many 12-year-olds that look at, you know, what I want to do when I'm, you know, down the road, whether I want to go to college, whether I want to do this, whether I want to do that.
Yeah.
It's more like they were 12-year-olds, you know?
Right.
And,
right.
You know, so I'm just curious, you know, how that affects a 12-year-old, you know?
Well, I think that depending on the age, we have different conversations with kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I think certainly the conversation that we have with a 12-year-old is going to be different than the conversation we have with a 16-year-old
or 16-year-old or 17-year-old or whatever. Right.
So I think really what our work is about is for kids to try to be as reflective as possible as to what they love to do. And so our program is self-directed.
I would have loved to stay home from school personally, but that's me.
Well, right. And I think that there are a lot of kids that do. And so, and I think partly the reason that kids do want to stay home from school is because they're told what to do all day. And
that is, you know, different in
not,
your school,
not, not right. A lot of people like that, right?
Right.
And so we don't necessarily tell them what to do all day. We listen to them. We listen to what they like to do. And we also give them credit for the fact that the things that they're interested in can be valuable. You know, it's not just what the world tells you is valuable. And so I think it's really important for kids to sort of look inside themselves and think about what they really love to do, mm-hmm. and to follow those passions, rather than maybe just go through the motions, right. of school. Right. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there are a lot of kids that get a lot out of school, and I'm not here, right. to bash school, but I think, and I can say from personal experience, as a public school teacher for 17 years, I can say that there's a group of kids who get a ton out of school, and then there's a group of kids who are for whom school is pedestrian at best. They're just kind of going through the motions. And then there's a group of kids where school can actually be somewhat of a destructive force. And so I think that there's a group of kids out there that we can capture and say, you know, if school is not working for you, there's another way. And every opportunity that you know, every path of college and career that is available to you through school, you can do through this other option. And it's just fine, and you don't right. have to do that. If you want to go to school, I mean, we have kids at our centers, their siblings go to school. You know, I mean, like, right. so I'm not telling parents, like, you know, every kid needs to leave school. There's no way I would do that. But if it's not working, it's not working.
Right. Is Raritan Learning Center like an alternative school?
Well, we actually avoid using the word school altogether to okay. describe our we would more say it's an alternative to school. Rather than an alternative school.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the kids that attend, they refer to it at school as school. But we, you know, the staff generally doesn't use the word school. This is sort of a maybe semantic thing. I don't know. But yeah. We just avoid that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who for the most part, would be interested. You talk about kids going to college already. So I see that you have some kids who are very motivated. Are you a school for kids who have behavioral or learning disabilities, per se?
Well, we wouldn't necessarily bill ourselves as that. I mean, I do think that we do have members who have a disability of some kind, or maybe even a formal diagnosis. We don't find that – well, let me put it this way. I think that in some cases the diagnosis – and I guess, you know, to use that word, there's a wide variety. But a lot of the kids that come to us, you know, take sort of one of the more popular ones, ADD or ADHD, right?
Right.
A lot of times kids might come to us and parents say, oh – he or she has been diagnosed with this and, you know, can't do this, can't do that, whatever. A lot of times when they come to us, those kinds of things tend to really be muted. They tend to fall away. And the reason is because we just provide a lot more flexibility. You know, if they need to take a break and, you know, we have some classes that are drop-in. If going a whole hour class isn't going to work for them, and they do a drop-in class, and there's 15 minutes left, they can go take a walk, and we're okay with that. It's fine. And so what tends to possibly be exacerbated by a structured environment might kind of fall away and not be such a great issue in a different environment.
Does your program lead to a GED to some students?
Well, there's a couple of options. So some of the kids do a GED test. There's three tests, the task, the high set, and right. the GED. And so some of our kids opt to do that, but some don't. The sort of big secret that we'd love to reveal to people is that you don't need a high school diploma to go to a four-year university.
Right.
You know, you can, so what we provide for kids is a narrative transcript. So for the 4 years of their high school, we basically keep track of everything that they do. So all the trips they go on, the books they read, the movies they watch, the classes they go to, all of that. And we make a point of kind of putting it in the various buckets of the sort of general subject areas that colleges would be looking for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the college isn't necessarily looking for the diploma necessarily,
right.
but they're looking at, well, what have you been doing
what
for the past
done?
4 years?
Exactly.
So you can put together that kind of transcript, apply as a non-traditional student, and many kids go off to four-year colleges, no problem. And we do encourage kids also, if that's the plan, to maybe think about taking a community college class or two, to sort of show that you are ready to do college level work,
mm-hmm.
But also to really make the decision as to whether or not this is the environment
right.
you want to be for the next 4 years. You know, what is college actually like? So, So the question is GED. It's possible.
Right.
I mean, but our program per se does not, you know, for all the kids
right.
need to a GED.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
I'm thinking when somebody applies for a job and then they, you know, do you have a high school diploma or something? What do they put on that line on the application? How does that work?
You know, I don't really know. I mean, I think for some kids who have gone, like they put a homeschool diploma.
Right.
They might get them, you know, and in some cases, homeschool diplomas sort of look, you know, there's a couple different things that kids can put together for themselves, but maybe that's
so
what
that's
they
what
would
it's
put.
Called. I mean, right. you're more like homeschool than traditional school. If you had to go to one side or the other.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would say we have more the feel of homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. All right. You have mentioned some of the subjects. What is the range of subjects that you and how do you arrive at which ones a student should take?
Well, we arrive at what the student should take by what they are interested in. So at the end of every year, we get together with all the kids and we. So Mary Beth Healy is the other staff member at our center, and she's sort of the math science person, the humanities person. And so we sort of say, like, these are some of the classes that we're thinking of offering. What is your level of interest? And so so we get the kids' interests, and then we try to put together a schedule.
Okay.
If Mary Beth or I can't teach one of those classes that they wanted, so, for example, last year, one of the boys led Dungeons & Dragons. I don't know anything about Dungeons & Dragons. Mary Beth doesn't either. And so that boy moved on, and all the kids were so into it, they said, oh, we would really love to have a Dungeons and Dragons class every week. So we went
like
online.
I don't know what Dungeons and Dragons are. Was it like a game show on the
No, it's a role-playing game.
Okay.
I think it's best described as collaborative storytelling.
Okay.
So you have one person who is a dungeon master, and he or she sort of dictates sort of the setting and the premise of the story, but everyone else playing is a character.
Okay.
And so all the kids develop their characters, and they sort of, the dungeon master will say, okay, and now this happens. Like, how are you, what are you going to do? And then the group collaboratively creates this story.
Right.
So it's really, it's super fun. And it's totally, in terms of the skills that kids are developing playing this game,
right.
It's like there's a laundry list of skills, right? From just how to tell a good story to collaborating with one another, speaking clearly. Right. I mean, you're learning all kinds of concepts of literature through this game.
Right.
So anyway, Mary Beth and I, we didn't know anything about this, and so we just put the word out. I went on to Meetup, and I found all these role-playing game groups on Meetup, and just put the word out and said, hey, we're looking for someone to lead role-playing games with a group of teens. And we got this guy. His name is Tony. He's a college kid. And he came every Monday from 11 to 1 and led Dungeons and Dragons. And then he started applying for jobs. He wasn't able to do it anymore. So one of the boys at the center, because they had sort of practiced from September to December, he was like, I think I can take that on. And so they continued. So they still have this class, but it's member led. And so that's partly the way that classes emerge a bit organically.
Right.
We also sometimes happens just because someone approaches us and says, oh, I'd love to volunteer. I can teach Russian. And we say, great. And then we go to the kids and say, anyone interested in Russian? We get a couple kids.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And we are very fortunate today to have with us Scott Gallagher, who's a staff member and co-founder of the Raritan Learning Center in Flemington, New Jersey. We've been talking about what the Raritan Learning Center does and, you know, how the students act and with certain programs and so on and so forth. I'm not sure if we touched on this or not. How do you acquire your students? Are they recommended by various schools, counselors, or, you know?
Well, hopefully, the way that they come to us is they hear things like this, and okay. And parents say, sounds like that might be a good thing for my kid. Mm-hmm. We don't get kids sent directly from schools. Maybe once in a while, a guidance counselor might give us a call and say, I have someone who's a good candidate. Sometimes we do get mental health professionals in some way,
right.
To help families, you know, you might want to check this place out. But mostly it's just through word of mouth, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
People talking at you know, barbecue, saying, oh, you know, like my kid, you know, needs something different, and they're, you know, oh, I heard of this place.
Right.
So okay. Hopefully they say that, you know.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
Trying to get the word out, I think, is probably one of the biggest challenges for us.
Well, sure. Yeah. I would think, you know.
I think people want to know, so it's considered a private school then?
Right. So we're a private nonprofit,
right.
And the way that we, you know, most of the funding comes from tuition. From the
you don't get any state aid as any type of a
there's no state subsidy or anything like that. Nope.
Now, students can choose what subjects they want to be involved in, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What if they choose something that you and the staff don't feel is right for them, so to lack of better words? What happens then? You let them go do it anyway, or?
Well, give me an example.
Pole dancing.
Pole dancing.
Very big at the Super Bowl.
What's that?
Very big at the Super Bowl halftime show yesterday.
I don't know.
It was. Yes, it was featured in the halftime show. I did see that. Well, I think that there's certain things that. So I think things might not work for a couple of different reasons. Obviously, we're not going to let anything illegal take place.
No, I understand that.
Or even things that are sort of like close in that. You know, if kids wanted to watch movies and the movies that they were watching were inappropriate.
Right.
We would have to have a conversation with them,
right.
and we would talk to their family, and, you know, obviously we've got 17-year-olds and 12-year-olds, and we have to consider
right.
that.
Right.
I don't know if that would be the same.
That was sort of a facetious question. I'm sorry.
Okay, okay.
Well, I shouldn't have asked it.
I don't know that we actually would have the resources to facilitate a pole dancing class. So but they might have to take that at the dance place, you know.
Sure. Okay.
Because I do think that is a thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oddly.
Could you briefly describe an average day for a student?
Sure. So we open at 9 and we close at 3. So we have classes happen every hour on the hour. So, you know, so that's 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. There's 5 hours of you know, mm-hmm. five time slots where classes can be taken. So some kids might go to every single class throughout the day. Some might do 3 of the classes that are offered. So they might do a class at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, and then the 11 o'clock hour they have off. They go to class at 12. They have a tutoring session at 1, and then from 2 to 3 they're, you know,
okay.
playing Minecraft on their computer.
Is it true that the students are not required to do anything? And if so, won't they just do nothing?
That's a great question. So, right. So this is one of the biggest fears. Because we are self-directed, it is true that that everything that happens is optional, which means that we don't actually require the kids to do anything. They are free to decline. I mean, we can provide all kinds of things, put all kinds of things in front of them, from all different classes to trips. They can say, no, I'm good. You know, I just want to listen to my music. And we've had kids in the past who spend a lot of time, you know, doing things that from the outside we feel like, oh my God, is this kid, what is this kid doing, right? Mm. But over time, the sort of the light bulb goes off and kids say, you know, I this is my life.
Right.
And I want to do something, and I can't just sit in this chair and listen to music all day. Right. There's all these things happening. A lot of times the sort of the social piece of the other kids going to classes sort of draws kids out and into right.
yeah,
into classes.
I can understand that. Yeah.
And so they want to just be a part of right. of what's happening around them. Not always. Kids, I think, sometimes really need to learn that they have the ability to say no. And that's a really great place to be. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have a 13-year-old daughter, and from a young age, she would say to me, whether she really believed it or not, I don't know, but she would say to me sometimes, I'm not doing that, and you can't make me. And, you know, like, as a parent, you're sort of like taken aback by that, but you're also sort of like, all right. Like, that's the kind of kid I want. You know, like, I want a kid who is going to say, I'm in control of my life, and I'm even willing to suffer the consequences because this is my life, and I get to do with it what right. I want. And so I would like my kid to be empowered. And, you know, I also want to have the conversations with her and the kids at the center that are frank, where if, you know, it doesn't mean that I, as a staff member, when a kid says, no, I don't want to do that, it doesn't mean that I just sort of like cower and just accept it. If a kid tells me, well, I want to go to a 4-year college, and week after week is declining to meet with his math tutor, like, I'm going to have a pretty frank conversation with that right. kid, and I'm going to say, one of two things needs to happen. Either you need to change your goal about going to a 4-year school, or you need to change what you're doing week to week, because your behavior does not match with the goal that you've set for yourself. And so, but it's only when he then comes to it on his own that he's like totally, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm right. doing this because I want to do it
right.
and not because of some sort of abstract force that is compelling me to do it, to do something that I never chose to do, that I have no interest in. And the thing is kids will even do things that they're not even particularly interested in.
Right.
Because they have the goal. Like, there's lots of kids that don't like math, but they know that there's some importance to it. If nothing else, you know, I'll even have conversations with kids where I'm like, listen, you know how much grief your parents give you about not doing math, right? Like, do the equation. No pun intended. Do the equation. Like, go to math for an hour, and then you get out of like 3 hours of lecturing from your parents. You know, sometimes you can, it's okay to do things, but still, like, what am I going to, I'm not going to make them
right.
do it. I mean, we don't have, and even in a school environment where things are compulsive and coercive, kids still do what they want.
They do.
They absolutely do. I mean, like, I would have kids in my public school English classes, and I'd say, oh, you know, you didn't do the homework? Nope. Why not? I just didn't do it. Done. You know, there's like there's no shame involved. Right. It was just like, no, I because I do what I want to do and you can't make me.
Yeah. Well, what is the importance of mentoring in the work you do with kids?
Well, that is, it's really, really critical. So every kid that comes to us is assigned a mentor with whom he or she meets once a week for an hour. And so this is where there's sort of a balance between, you know, giving kids a lot of freedom and flexibility to make choices, make mistakes, you know, screw up royally. At the same time, we have the mentoring piece, which is there to really support them. So in a very sort of like administrative way, mentoring can be, how are classes going? What did you do in this class? What books have you read? And we're sort of keeping track of that. And we're also sort of, as they get older, kind of looking towards college, helping them with the college application process, you know, preparing all the documentation. But on a more sort of human level, when the kids are saying, well, I want to be an engineer, and then they're not going to their math tutor, we can have that conversation, and it can be that sort of like frank conversation, but it can also be a matter of like, well, what is going on? Like, because there could be lots of reasons why
they're not going, right?
Yeah. And so we can sort of step back and we can take our time and ask them like, well, is it too difficult? Are you taking on a subject that you just is way beyond you? Because if so, let's pull back. Is it the tutor? Is it the program that you're using? We use all kinds of things. They could use a textbook. They could use an online program. So there's all kinds of reasons. But to really listen to them, and I mean, sometimes it's like, I don't know, math gives me anxiety. It's like, okay, well, there's a big difference, you know, with the approach that we can take with – If the issue is anxiety with math compared to, well, the subject is just too hard for me. I mean, and sometimes I think we sort of don't pay attention to those kinds of things. So really working with them as closely as possible and getting to know them as people, really, really hearing the kinds of things that they love and don't love and how they operate in the world.
Well, who's the mentor? I mean, are they people who work in your organization?
Yes.
Or are they volunteers or what?
Right. So the mentors are only full-time staff at our center. So it's myself and Mary Beth, and then at the other centers, it's the full-time staff members.
Okay.
That is not done by volunteers. That's people who are consistently there every week,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the kids. So.
Right.
What about the tutors? How is that set up and where does that take place and so forth?
The tutoring sessions happen just like a class would, but it's one-on-one. I'd say more often than not, they're volunteers in the community. So we have, at the moment, I think we have, I mean, all our volunteers altogether, we probably have about 8 or 9 volunteers, maybe 3 or 4 of them do one-on-one math sessions with the kids. And so the kids also will get support. Sometimes in our mentoring sessions, we'll take a little bit of time and just, you know, like, how's it going in math? And, you know, to kind of bolster that. And then the kids can work on math on their own as well.
We have to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. We're very privileged today to have with us Scott Gallagher, who's a staff member and a co-founder of Raritan Learning Center in Flemington, New Jersey. And we've been talking about the school and who it helps and how they go about doing their classes. And but I would like to know a little bit more about the priorities you have in thinking about working with kids. I know that, you know, if a student wants to be an airline pilot or something, you know, they have the certain things they have to do, you know. One of them may be going in the Air Force, you know. But so how do you prioritize their goal, you know, to get to their goal?
Well, I would say the very first thing in terms of my priorities working with teens is we like to say that really the most important thing is the relationships that we have with the kids. Mm-hmm. I think that we're always thinking about, you know, as an adult, have an agenda. And, you know, it's easy to sort of look at a kid and say, oh, you know, I think this kid really should do this. I think he should do that. I think she would be good in this field or good in that. And to, like, you know, even sort of in a sneaky way kind of like direct them towards that. And that's fine for, I think, for adults to have that. I think the difficulty can be when that agenda, however sort of overt or covert it might be, if that agenda really gets in the way of the relationship that we have with the kids. And so, you know, and it doesn't mean that I can't have an opinion with them. You know, I think of my relationship with these kids as almost as if I am being I try to treat them the way that I would treat another adult whose opinion I really value. Okay. You know? Yeah. So, in other words, like, and so that doesn't mean that I just sort of accept everything that they say. But I also respond in very sensitive ways. You know, if my friend were to tell me that, and I'll use this example because I have a master's degree in poetry. So if my friend came to me and said, you know, I'm thinking of going back for my MFA in poetry, I would probably tell him that I think that that's a bad idea. Or maybe, depending on where he is in his life and the circumstances, I might really say to him, you know, I love you, but I think that's a bad idea. You know, you're going to spend all this money, whatever. So that to me is how I might respond to, you know, to the kids that I work with. I'm not going to say, no, you shouldn't do that.
Right.
I want to say to them, here's my loving advice. I think that it's probably not the best decision that you make. But hey, if that's what you really want to do, I will support you the way that I would support a friend who does something that, like, I might be scratching my head and say, mm-hmm. Oh, geez. So I'm not going to let my opinion about my friend doing a master's degree in poetry get in the way of our friendship. I might still say to him, I don't know. So I feel like really thinking about the relationship that we have with kids is really, really important. The other thing I would say about like priorities and how, you know, like the right. how we really think about working with kids is I'm not always interested in thinking about the specific content of what they're learning. I'm thinking about how they behave in the different environments that they're in. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite writers on this subject, he's sort of a homeschooling guru, is John Holt. And my favorite quote from him is, I might butcher it, but let me see if I can remember it. He says the highest form of intelligence is something about measuring intelligence doesn't have to do with how much we know, but how we behave when we don't know. And so,
right,
Tracy, your question earlier about like what the goal is, that quote I feel like really kind of captures a lot of the sort of particular angle that we're taking on education. We're not so much concerned that, you know, that they, you know, have read the, you know, The Great Gatsby and Catcher in the Rye and all the sort of right. like canonical literature of high school, or that they have made sure to get through Algebra 2, but more to practice being in a place of, I have a passion, I have an interest, I have a goal. How do I act in order to move towards that and fulfill that?
Right.
And it can be really messy, really messy, because teenagers, they make mistakes. You know, they don't always make the best decisions, you know?
Now, a lot of times, do you find that the parents have their own idea of what their kids should do, and that's what they're going to do, and that's how they're going to do it, and yada,
absolutely.
Yada.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's a shame. Yeah. It really is, because over the years, being with NAMI 20-plus years, I've seen it happen so many times. And in one instance, I saw it where, after graduating high school, the young man killed himself because he didn't want to do what parents wanted him to do. And to me, that is very sad.
Yeah.
And I was just curious. We have a few minutes, about 3 minutes left. Have you run into that?
Yeah. I mean, I think all parents on some level are, you know, have an element of fear that's kind of like driving.
Yeah, I've got four kids. I know what you're saying.
You know, yeah. I mean, I think it's more than common that we all as parents, you know, say, oh, if he would only just, you know, and.
But a lot of times parents forget that it's not their life. It's their child's life. And they're growing up and they're a young adult and, you know. They have to be able to make their decisions, right or wrong.
Yeah.
You can advise them and say, I don't think this is the right thing to do. But if they go do it anyway and fall on their face, well, you know, so be it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't mean to be, like, super melodramatic about this, but, I mean, the idea that the young man that you're speaking of killed himself because of the sort of outside forces, you know, he didn't want to do. I mean, I think that on some level, there are a lot of people who they've not taken their own life literally, but that the world has sort of killed them. in a way,
right.
Because they've sort of succumbed to what the world has sort of like
right.
told them what to do.
In our last minute that we have,
yeah.
you want to, if someone wanted some information, would you? How would they go about getting it? Email, phone?
Sure, I'll give both. So
okay.
I can be emailed at info@RaritanLearningCooperative.org, and that's our website, RaritanLearningCooperative.org. I can also be reached at 908-938-1464.
Well, Scott, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your schedule to come. I will have you back. I guarantee it.
All right.
We'll drag you down the street again.
Okay.
Raritan Valley Learning Center is about a block and a quarter up the road from us. So
yeah.
It's
before we head them out, let's go over those addresses again. Just for
sure. Sure. You want me to repeat them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. So the email once again is info@RaritanLearningCooperative.org, and the phone number is 908-938-1464.
Right, and your website is RaritanLearningCooperative.org.
Correct.
Okay.
Scott, thank you again for coming on. We really appreciate it. And like I said, I will have you back. We'll be back again next week, same time, same station. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. Take care. See you next week.
Okay, thank you.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
A 1,000-bed hospital built in just 10 days to handle the coronavirus epidemic opened its doors to its first patients in Wuhan, China. The hospital was built specifically to handle patients infected with the coronavirus that has left more than 360 dead. Construction began January 24th with a crew of 7,000 people working around the clock. A leaked recording of an exchange between an Iranian air traffic controller and an Iranian pilot shows authorities immediately knew that a missile had downed a Ukrainian jetliner, killing all 176 people aboard, despite denials by the Islamic Republic. Ukraine's President Zelensky acknowledged the recording's authenticity in a report aired by Ukrainian television. In Tehran, the head of the Iranian investigation team acknowledged the recording was legitimate and said it was immediately handed over to Ukrainian officials. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Tax Talk with Hollywood legend Bob Eubanks.
You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-832-1594. 800-832-1594.
Democrats are putting Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan on the national stage to rebut President Donald Trump's State of the Union address, elevating a fresh face and casting an election year spotlight on a swing state in the Midwest as the party looks to win back states that Trump captured in 2016. Her selection has led to increased speculation she could be a running mate pick, though she says she's not interested. A student privacy law will complicate the U.S. Census Bureau's ability to get complete information about students living in college-run housing for the nation's headcount, according to the warning the U.S. Department of Education has sent to universities. Because of the decades-old privacy law, university administrators will not be able to disclose students' sex, race, or Hispanic origin, if asked. The 2020 count will help determine the allocation of $1.5 trillion in federal spending dollars and how many congressional seats each state gets. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has urged Kazakhstan to be cautious when doing international business with China. USA Radio's John Clemens reports.
Speaking from Nur Sultan, Mr. Pompeo urged caution to the oil-rich Central Asian nation over its dealings with China, saying it could come with a loss of sovereignty it may hurt instead of helping the country's long-term development.
We fully support Kazakhstan's freedom to choose to do business with whatever country, whichever country it wants. But I'm confident. I'm confident the countries get the best outcomes when they partner with American companies.
Mr. Pompeo also said the U.S. is willing to help them against the coronavirus outbreak in neighboring China. I'm John Clemens.
After the Kansas City Chiefs stormed back to win the Super Bowl, defensive tackle Derek Nnadi celebrated the victory in a very unique way by helping animals in need. The Kansas City Pet Project announced on Facebook the star player had paid off the adoption fees for every single adoptable dog at each of their locations. Thanks to his incredible support following the win, more than 100 available dogs will have their adoption fees sponsored starting today. They said they've had an average of 20 new dogs coming into the shelter every day, so this comes at a great time as our shelter is full of wonderful pets looking for homes. Remember, you can listen online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Authorities in Poland have brought charges against a man who designed an Escape the Room entertainment site where five teenage girls died during a fire. USA Radio Network's John Clemens has more.
Autopsies showed the five girls, all around the age of 15, died from carbon monoxide inhalation.
at Let's Get Everyone to Listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our